Our scripture today comes from 2 Chronicles, various verses. But this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the son of man of God. Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin, this is what the Lord says. Do not go up to fight against your fellow Israelites. Go home, every one of you. For this is my doing. So they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from marching against Jeroboam. King Jeroboam did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. But because Jeroboam humbled himself, the Lord's anger turned from him, and he was not totally destroyed. Indeed, there was some good in Judah. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places. He smashed the stones, sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey the laws and commands. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Obed. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judea and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them.
Amen. God, we encourage your holy word and ask you to speak through it, speak through our hearts, and speak with power in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to look at some choices people make in difficult times. I'll try to be brief. In these difficult times, that we talk of, if you were to read through the passages in Chronicles, or if you've been reading through the story, you will see what goes on in society in the time of Rehoboam and Jeroboam had just virtually abandoned God. To understand how bad it was, they took down any symbols that would remind the people of God. Even the Ten Commandments would not be disappointed, or any symbol of their religious practice was taken away. Yet they were discouraged from any of the teaching. And they encouraged people to go to where there were secular idols of golden calves, like back in Moses' time. They had the high places, though, which they continued. The high places where people would go worship. And it was usually the highest place near a particular community, and they go there and worship. And they wanted it convenient so they could control it. In the midst of this, there's a lot of struggle going on how to deal with it. Sometimes, as other than our society, we're not so different from what I see happening. Did any of you read on the internet about the fellow who looked like Jesus in Great Britain and went to a dart tournament? They started to do the contest, and the people noticed that this guy apparently looked like Jesus. Not that we have a picture of Jesus, but plenty of these pictures. And they looked at it, and then some of the dart contestants, probably was in the pub or something, if they got a little bit inebriated, we're shouting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So they threw the guy who looked like Jesus out of the dart contest so he wouldn't get in the way of what they were doing. And then they, as they got even more inebriated, some of the guys said, if I see Jesus out there, I'm going to be looked. If we get a callousness to what's going on in society that even affects our faith, and even the symbols of our faith. Now, as we look at that, I want to look very briefly at some choices that they made. said, be kind to the people, serve them. Don't raise their taxes. I'm not sure why taxes are so important. But in any case, he did everything the opposite of what they called for. And as this was occurring, then 10 of the 12 tribes split off to go with Jeroboam. And as this happened, you had a divided people. So they wouldn't listen to counsel. Neither one of them would, actually. But a little bit more Rehoboam. As this was going down, an interesting thing happens. Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, decides he was going to solve the problem, and he amasses a great army with the intent of conquering the rest of Israel and getting it the way that they want. And the second principle we see is that God says, do not fight against your fellow Israelites. Now, the thing that you need to realize is that the level of faith, the level of practice of faith, was really diluted to the nth degree. And yet, they still were God's people, and he wanted them to come together. And he was saying that even in difficult times, even with people who are not faithful, we are not to fight with each other. Sometimes, when everyone seems to have lost sight of faith, we figure our role is to make them righteous, even if we have to be mean to them. And then what comes is God says, don't do that. And as tempted as he may have been to do it, it says they did not go against it. And they went back to their homes. And so they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from marching against their fellow people. And just remember, if things go difficult, as we move into moments where things aren't going well, Satan's great temptation is to make us fight between ourselves. One of the great things that's happened here in the last few years is that when we've had difficult issues, we've resisted the temptation to fight between ourselves, because that is not of God. And when we work together, even if we disagree, and we turn to God, and God makes it. There's an interesting quote also. It says, after the whole position as king was established, and he had become strong. That's since he's got it just the way he wants, and he's seeking God. And after that, he and all Israel abandoned the law of the Lord. They got what they wanted. They prayed for God's help, no doubt. And the many things were going good, they did it their way. I've seen that at different times in our history, in our country. When there have been difficult times, I've seen the people of God return to pray and seek God's help. And then when things are going crazy again, we forget God and we go our own way. We forget the path that leads to blessing. And Abraham Lincoln had an expression. He used to say, I walk slowly, but I never walk backward. And I said, as we seek God, as we move towards God, we have to keep going in that direction. Because if we fall back on our ways, we begin to lose sight of what's possible. Another thing that we see in these difficult times is that as they're doing this, in the Chronicles it says, because Rehoboam was about to really do blast at the prophets of Rehoboam. So it says, Rehoboam humbled himself, and the Lord's anger turned from him. And he was not totally destroyed. There were some consequences of his action in terms of disunity in the country. But God exercised mercy. And then it says, indeed, there was some good in Judah. When things are really going bad, when society isn't living out like we think it should, like God's word said it should, sometimes we stop looking for the good. But there is strength from when we look for the good. We often see God in what God's doing. Even in this most recent tragedy. As I was listening this morning, they were saying how the people had pulled together and were comforting the parents and the families and joining together in the midst of great pain. We have to see the good. We have to hold on to the good. When I was younger, I always thought that any of you remember Audrey Hepburn? She was a very graceful lady. And she had a quote, and she was not only a graceful lady in how she dressed and looked, she was a graceful lady in how she lived. And she said once, "For beautiful eyes, look for the good in others. For beautiful lips, speak only words of kindness. And for poise, walk with the knowledge that you're never alone." The attitude of looking for good, of looking for the God in people, is redemptive. It's caring. It's encouraging. It's uplifting. And we can never stop doing that when we surrender to the evil that surrounds us. As we look at these people, after Rehoboam had come back so much, it says he did evil because he did not set his heart on seeking the Lord. So he took like a couple steps forward and then several steps more backwards. And he didn't do what was right in the Lord. And the kingdom feels the impact of this. Now, soon thereafter comes a fellow named King Asa. And Asa is someone who looks for God. It says that he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He used to preach to me, Ironside, and one time he was talking to a young seminarian, and Ironside talked about the discipline he had of seeking the Lord every morning, whether it's sick or healthy or whatever was going on. He always sought the Lord. And the young seminarian said, "Well, did you pray for it to happen?" And Ironside said, "No, I just did it." And sometimes we don't all have to pray for things to happen, but we have to do it. We have to live out our faith or pay the price of it. So Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he removed the idolatry, the altars, and the high places. He smashed them. And he established as a fortress. And things begin to happen. They commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and commands. It goes on in speaking what occurs. It says, "For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, sought him. And he was found by them." And then it says, "Asa was fully committed to the Lord all the days of his life." As we read in Romans, it says, "Surely we did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own righteousness, their own ways. They did not submit to God's righteousness." You know, George Washington used to say of the nation, it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. And so, as we seek God, this begins to happen. It goes on to say that we're blessed by the person who lives by faith and in righteousness. I like the passage where it says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." And then the scripture says, "Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame." In difficult times, in times when we step away from God, what happens is not simply a failure to believe. It is not simply a destruction of your own life and values. But what's facilitated is the destruction of that which we hold valuable. Our community and our culture is hurt and is damaged by this. And we're called to come back. Did you see the word saved there? We want people to be saved, to come to Jesus Christ. I just want you to realize what they're saved from. They're saved from the emptiness of false paths. They're saved from the meaninglessness of seeking things without purpose. Now, you know, I said earlier, teasing that they said my mic wasn't on. I said, my fear is that I'm going to be on. Last night at 11 o'clock, or about 10 to 11, I finished about 7 hours of work on my sermon. And I pressed save. And it didn't. Now, to show you what a weak Christian I am, I was so mad that it took all of my ability not to destroy my computer. I could not calm down. So I just went to bed, as you can tell. And then this morning, I worked about reconstructing it. The reason I mention this to you is that many of us, we learn truths of God. We learn what makes life valuable. And then sometimes things happen in our life and we lose them. We're not saved. And then we experience so much hurt. But over the years of my ministry, I've worked in prisons, I've worked in the inner city, I've worked with churches and all sorts of people and places. And even if I had no faith in Jesus Christ, just from being with them and seeing their pain, I knew that they needed to be saved. You understand? There was just so much struggle that I need to be saved from where they were. But General Booth, who was head of the Salvation Army, he was an interesting fellow. When he would try to teach people to how to help people be saved and the like, one day he said, I would trade all the instruction we could give, 5 years worth of instruction, if I could simply take my Salvation workers and give them 5 minutes in hell. Then they would know what they're saving people from. But we don't even have to go that far. We're hurting people that need the saving love of Jesus. There's a community and a nation that needs the values that can save a nation. Righteousness exalted the nation, the scripture says, but sin is a blight on any person. And we have the chance to be part of lifting people up, of listening to them, of serving them, of teaching